The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Tell you what, why don't you keep thinking while I say, this is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. I just did the station ID.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We kind of mixed it up now. You're right.
Remember?
You're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you know.
That look is right. That's a right look. Yeah. So we're just going to keep rolling. Sorry. Normally you'd have a little bit more time, but I don't have as much time to come up with your idiom.
Idioms.
People help him, will you?
There's no virgin meat on my ass. My ass got chewed.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
You didn't actually chew on my ass.
Right.
Cuss me out.
So does that make it, that's an idiom?
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I got all kinds.
Yeah, that's right. If the Avs are who they think they are, I want Vegas in the first round. But there's no apologies for wanting the weakest version of the Knights in the playoffs if we have to play them.
Pooped in his helmet. Pooped in his helmet. That's my own idiom.
You've been using an idiom all this time.
Yeah. Football playing Jesse. His name's not Jesse. Boom. I am an idiom creator.
You are an idiom producing machine.
I am.
Okay. Is it just me or Mark's been getting his butt kicked by Jerry Jeudy lately? Them there fighting
Stop
words.
The cap.
All right, so if you missed it, so you've been critical of Jerry Jeudy. You put out a video expressing your surprise. You're being shocked that he was able to get the kind of deal he got from Cleveland. Like, what the heck is Cleveland doing?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeudy fired back at you. You know, what does he know? You know, he doesn't look at the game film. He just watches TV highlights. Called you an old head.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. And then you fired back.
Oh, yeah.
It was very entertaining.
I responded to every one of his tweets.
I had my popcorn ready. And overall, I was just kind of just, overall, it was running probably a strong, just the comment section. The comments were fun. Yeah. I would say a strong, 70-30 in favor of you?
Yeah. Yeah. Easy. I mean, there are always going to be people that will support the player, you know, and I don't know. There's like people like, well, who were you? You know, what did you do? Like, problem with this generation is they jump on Wikipedia and read something and think they're football experts. You people are idiots. So
that's ignorance.
Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, I mean, and listen, man, like most of the things he said, like he normally does, like the way he plays, they're just wrong. So
false.
But by the way, telling the truth, now I get that oftentimes I'm blunt as a spoon, and that can hurt your idiom. That can hurt your feelings.
Blunt as a spoon?
Yeah.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Or is that like a...
Have you heard that, Johnny? Blunt as a spoon?
Blunt as a spoon?
I've never heard that in my life.
Rogue? Any... Blunt as a spoon?
Yeah, spoons are blunt.
They're not blunt.
Sure they are.
They're spoons. Kind of rounded and...
What do you...
There's no real edge to it. It's...
Right, it's blunt. There's no edge to it.
Well, no. I equate blunt with like a blunt force. A spoon is like...
Okay, if I'm
gentle, it's a spoon.
Right,
blunt. You enjoy a nice bowl of ice cream with spoons.
If I stab you with a knife, will it penetrate?
Yes.
If I stab you with a fork, will it penetrate?
Yes.
If I stab you with a spoon, what will happen?
Not.
It's blunt. It's not going to penetrate.
Okay.
Right?
Who wants to tell him? Who wants to tell him what blunt means?
Blunt?
Blunt.
I know.
This is what happens.
Stop it. Get some help.
Blunt. Yeah. It's like, if blunt is like force. If you're saying that a spoon wouldn't, you can stab somebody with a spoon, that means it's not a blunt object.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? You guys want to help me out here? A blunt is like, it's an object that you would use to bring force, to inflict force, to inflict damage, or what have you. To call a spoon not blunt means it's not a blunt object. Why are you looking at me like that?
As blunt as a spoon. You've never heard that?
I've never heard
that. Did I make it up?
All right.
Man, yeah, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Oh, man.
New York, London, Paris, music, everybody talking about blunt spoons. Blunt. Now.
I don't. Oh, man. Oh. God, okay. You are a treasure when you're like this. You are a treasure, just a national treasure. So we all know, is it just me? We all know the Saints have been in cap hell for many years, continuing to kick the can down the road. What year did that start happening?
Blunt, not sharp. Boom!
Yeah, but it's...
Do you want to read the part that's before that, though, Stink?
No, I don't.
No, read it. Oh, please.
Of a knife, pencil, etc., having a worn-down edge or point.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's really?
That's not sharp.
A worn-down point. Tell me about what spoon do you use that has a point?
A pointy spoon. They all have a point.
A spork.
A spork. I think I won.
Okay. Anyway, what year did that start happening? Was it right away like Peyton's doing with the Broncos, or did it happen after their Super Bowl win for Peyton? First of all, did Sean Payton leave the Saints? Did he leave the Saints in a lurch? Been there 15 years. He built that thing up, then rebuilt it in the middle of his time there. I don't know, after 15 years in one place, can you really be accused of turning your back on them and leaving them in tough shape? Or is that just something that every franchise that has a lot of success, especially over the course of 15 years, you're going to go through those ebbs and flows where eventually, at some point the bills do come due. That happens to every successful franchise, doesn't it?
Especially in the way franchises are built nowadays. And by the way, you built it. Like you said, you went 15 years with it. And on your way out the door, you took a year off. On your way out the door, what'd you get them? A first rounder and a second rounder in return to go somewhere else. To start afresh. To have the exhilaration of taking a program and trying to rebuild it. You know, from the foundation up. Coming in and you know, basically being able to say, yeah, not good enough. Strip it down and start over again. That, like, after 15 years in one place, the best thing that ever happened to me in my career, and it was scary. Change is scary. But the best thing that ever happened to me in my career was at some point Washington saying, we don't like you anymore. Right? That divorce. And that was scary, man. And I was flunking physicals and everything else. But man, when I got here, you want to talk about a new lease on life? You want to talk about energized? You want to talk about a different feel and building something together with a group of guys that all kind of came in together in 1995? You know how special that is? And so after 15 years and the guy you have the biggest relationship with, the guy that you won a lot of games with in Drew Brees, and for crying out loud, Mickey Loomis and everybody else that was part of that organization to say, man, I'm going to get a fresh start to re-energize my career, to re-energize me. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. And you know what? If you look at his time in New Orleans like a graph, you know, and you're looking for how the graph goes, it followed a very distinct pattern. Uh-huh. So he starts off with the Saints and the graph. The line is down here. Mm-hmm. And then it steadily goes up.
Right.
He has three rebuilding seasons, and then they have four straight seasons of 11 wins or more. Then the graph goes down. They have 3 years of 7-9. Then the graph goes back up. He builds it back up. Four straight seasons of 11-plus win seasons. Mm-hmm. This is back when it's 16-game seasons. So then he goes 9-8 after his 12-4 season in 2020, and he leaves. But if you looked at his pattern there in New Orleans. Had he stayed in New Orleans, then you probably would have looked at the graph, go down, and then probably go back up again. And so right now, he is in a time right now with the Broncos that he was in two times in his career with New Orleans. And each time, built that thing up into an NFC juggernaut. So, I don't know. I guess I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt that he's going to be able to do that here. And is it just me, or is it surprising that for somebody who does have a 15-year track record in one place that we all can agree was really successful, how that has been, I don't know, diminished, belittled, picked apart by fans around here?
Yeah, which
does that surprise you?
It does.
Especially considering how badly things have been run around here for the last almost decade?
Because people are scared of change, Mike. People don't like change. And then people over-assessed what this roster actually was. Because, listen, man, you could turn on ESPN 2 years ago, and they were talking about, hell, you just saw the report from Roster Boy. What was Roster Boy's name from ESPN? Roster Boy.
Mike Clay.
Yeah, Mike Clay, Roster Boy. And last year they were rated as, the year before last, they were rated as the 11th best roster in football. The 10th before that. And all the talking heads on ESPN and other networks were going, oh, this roster with this receiving core, Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton and, you know, KJ Hamler, if he can be healthy, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and Noah Fant. And again, you know what? It's the short-sightedness of what you think makes a good NFL team. And it blows me away. And NFL executives have fallen victim to this as well. You think that people outside the numbers are the difference makers. They're not. They flat out, if Kansas City proved anything to you, anything, control the middle of the football field, Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, you look at their guard, center, guard, you could argue they're the best in football. Control the middle of the football field. Dominate the line of scrimmage. Defensively, hey, one great corner eliminates one receiver. A great pass rush eliminates them all. Chris Jones, Karlaftis, had some linebackers that can blitz. And do they have good corners? Yeah, certainly they do. But we've got, again, as people, you have let the narrative of the wide receivers, most important position in football next to the quarterback, is the biggest load of garbage. It is garbage. And you have fallen victim to it. Why? Because you can see it. It's like Stephen A. Smith, and I love Stephen A., but Stephen A. Smith, basically blowing the trumpet for Tatum. It's easy to see. You don't have to take nuance into effect. It's just easy. And you've let yourself be duped. You and I'll pat me and you on the back. When everybody was talking about how good this roster was, you and I were the two people in town on any station, on this station, said, no, it's not that good. No, it is not a great roster. No, it is not a top 10 or 11 roster. It's not close to that. And nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody.
You are right, Mark.
Thank you.
You are handsome.
Thank you, Adam. But, here we sit. And so to be mad at Sean Payton for coming in and recognizing what is true and then putting a plan together that should have been put together 7 years ago? You guys make fun of me for when, after the Broncos started 4-0, and I came out and said, Trevor Siemian is like dealing and let's just lock him up and pay him, right? You make fun of me. You know the best quarterback we've had since we won the Super Bowl? By a long shot?
In terms of wins?
In terms of wins and just actually putting up numbers. Is Trevor Siemian.
I know. That's what's so sad.
Yeah, and if you'd have locked him up, like I said, for 6 years at $10 million a year, you know what?
We'd still be winning 7, 8, 9 games, yeah.
He was your best quarterback you have had here in almost a decade.
But I think the Broncos are in a situation right now, it's the perfect example.
And you can still get him back.
He's a free agent. You can for a lot less than what you were willing to pay him. Is the whole idea, be careful what you wish for, because for all the talk about, you know, hey, let's burn this thing down, this is something that they should have done for a long time, well, now it looks like they're doing it, and people are kind of recoiling a little mm-hmm. bit. Like, oh, they got to do something. You know, they got to pick a quarterback. They got to, you know, otherwise there's going to be nobody on the hill right. at the practices, and mm-hmm. apathy's going to set in. Well, but what's the alternative? And what that tells me when I hear responses like that, the reluctance to embrace the idea of, hey, we may suck for a while, but let's build this up the right way, and let's not continue to put Band-Aids on, and just drafting a quarterback just to draft a quarterback might be yet another mm-hmm. Band-Aid move. It's because even though the Broncos haven't been a contender, they've been somewhat interesting over these last 7, 8 years. Why? Yeah. Because the kind of Band-Aids that they've put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what generally gets people, football fans, excited or talking or enthusiastic, a coaching search, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, we're bringing in this candidate. We're going to go talk to this guy. We're flying this guy in. Our second meeting with this guy. That creates a lot of energy. That creates a lot of interest. Certainly bringing in another quarterback, whether it's a young quarterback, whether it's a veteran quarterback, they've made over the last 7 or 8 years, they've made so many of these moves that do get people talking and does create a certain amount of buzz, but it's still just a Band-Aid. And it's a Band-Aid that's not going to hold. So what they're doing now is they're not even putting one of these so-called interesting Band-Aids on it, or they may not. And that's why people are like, well, go draft a quarterback. Not because I know that the quarterback right. is going to work, not because I know that the quarterback is the solution, but at least, you know, at least it'll be interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, they've been interesting over the last 7, 8 years, but they've been bad. They've been irrelevant.
You don't.
And
you don't,
I'd like to try it a different way. Yeah.
Like, people will lose their minds if the Broncos. I think a 99% chance they don't come off a 12. I mean, there's a 99% chance they don't come off, they don't move up off a 12. Now, they could move back. But people will lose their mind if the 12th pick comes around and it's a football player as opposed to a quarterback. People will lose their mind. But why, seriously, when you've got multiple, now that people are actually witnessing what you and I have been talking about for 3 years, that this roster is not as good as people think it is. If you're bypassing the top player on your board for a quarterback that you don't believe in, then you're stupid. And I don't think Sean Payton is stupid. I think he's shrewd, and I think he's knowledgeable, and I think he understands what he's looking for. But people will go crazy over that. They'll go crazy.
Let me give you a comparison. So the year that the Avalanche were god-awful.
Yes.
The year that they put up 48 points. Jared Bednar's first year here.
Mm-hmm. But how many overtime losses did they have?
They were close.
Okay.
No, but they had 48 points. They went 22-56. Mm-hmm. They had a coach that nobody had ever heard of that was just being brought in here to take all the brunt of the losses. And then when they started to turn things around, they'd bring somebody else in. During that year, man, there were nights you could have fired a cannon inside the then Pepsi Center and not worry about hitting anybody. There'd be the Columbus Blue Jackets, like the one that will be in town tonight. They'd be in town on a Tuesday night, and the announced crowd would be like 11,000, and there were barely half that in attendance. And you know what? It was a brutal year. But there are a couple of young players playing at that point named Nathan MacKinnon and Gabe Landeskog.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through that. There was a lot of apathy. Nobody's paying attention. They were just kind of going about their business. But it was the initial first step, right? In building it up until we look at it now, and it's a beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I almost wonder, like, for some Bronco fans or Broncos media, I almost, even if I went to you today and said, look, we're going to have a year this year in which the Broncos go 4-13. And they're going to be irrelevant. They're going to be boring. They're not going to be worth talking about. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, down the road, you're going to see this thing bear fruit.
Right.
I think there's some people like, no, I don't want to take that trade.
Right.
Because
no, I'm with
you. I want them to be at least interesting.
Yeah.
And what you're telling me, Mike, is something that I don't want to sign up for because I don't want to go through it. I'd rather go through what I've gone through the last 7 or 8 years where they didn't win, but man, they weren't boring. You know, we had Russ and we had Fangio and Elway and
I think
Paxton Lynch.
You take a page out of the Avalanche playbook and you go total Ashford and Simpson on them.
Solid as a rock.
Solid. We built it up and built it up and now we're solid. Solid as a rock. And nothing's changing. Our love is still hot, 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 hot. By the way, I got bad news for you.
Oh, no. Jerry Jeudy gave up?
No, bad news. Oh, bad news for you.
Oh.
Where does the idiom blunt as a spoon come from? Oh. Really, it exists. In the 19th century, British slang, spoon meant a simpleton. Meaning that may have influenced, yes. The use of spoon brought about spoony describes a silly or foolish person. Blunt as a spoon.
How do you like me now, Mike Evans?
Feels good to be right.
Texter says, what you're envisioning, Mike, means Empower Field will be empty. Okay.
Dude, it's already got 10, 20,000 no-shows.
Pepsi Center was empty when the Avalanche were going 22-56. I think what we're saying here is that they have arrived at a point where they probably should have arrived at 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
At some point, they should have arrived at this point and stripped it down and built it back up the right way instead of trying to apply Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
We have been applying Band-Aids to this thing for years. And at some point, you just got to say, nope, not going to do it anymore. We've got a vision. We're gonna start from the ground up and build this thing the right way. Avalanche did it.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets did it. And you're not even listening to me because you want to talk
build
about
it up
spoons.
And build it up and build it.
I can,
and
you know,
now I'm solid.
This is my world, folks. There are times where, like, you know, we're having this conversation,
right.
And you know, I'm like, you know, we're really and me and you and the listeners, and we're connecting, and we got this thing going. I feel
the
like,
love
and then
spoon.
I look over at him, and he is just, he's got this look on his face, like, I'm not listening to you. I want to start singing.
No, I think this is
ridiculous.
I think this is where this is why.
Listen to him. Look at him.
This
you
is
the,
why
you see it, Rogue. Now you're
on the island. This is where the Russell Cliffs of insanity. Like, this is why I got a new place on my island. Because as blunt as a spoon, solidifies it. Feels good. Feels good. Really, really, really good. But I agree with everything you said. like I said, man, it should have been torn down 8 years ago when you were wasting draft picks. And, dude, we don't have one guy on our team from the 2018, 2019, or 2020 draft.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Well, maybe one guy. Maybe it's Courtland. It's the only guy we have left.
Yeah.
Only guy we have left. Should be the core of your football team, that draft, those drafts.
Whoever he is, he's too late. See? The cliffs of insanity!
Yes. That's what we have.
Yeah.
The Russell Wilson Cliffs of Insanity on I Told You So Island. Debbie Downers, man. Rebuilding is fine, and it's part of the game.
Yeah, it is.
Why'd you call us Debbie Downers?
He's calling us a Debbie Downer. He's calling out fans and
media types Debbie Downers
that are down on the idea of rebuilding. Rebuilding is fine as long as you can see that there is something to build upon.
Sure.
So like when the Avalanche were having that awful season.
Mm-hmm.
At least you could sit back and watch a guy like McKinnon and Landeskog and think, okay.
There's potential.
There's something to start with. There isn't much, but at least we have something to start with. So if this is indeed going to be a rebuilding type season, the hope has got to be that when that season is over, that we all can agree that there were some parts of it that we can all look at and say, okay, that's a start. We can build on that.
Maybe. Excuse me.
I'm joking.
We should change.
Man, you just want to start talking about blunt spoons and the Dutch and wooden shoes and tiny hands. Windmills. You're all over the place, why I love you. Friday.
I'm just thinking that maybe it's time to change Sean Payton's song to Ashford Simpson's Solid as a Rock because he's rebuilding. And he's going to restore that love and make it.
That's a terrible idea.
That's right.
That's a terrible idea. That's a good idea.
Is It Just Me Friday with a punchy Mark Schlereth? Always the best. What a combination. That's next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto-pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, Is It Just Me Friday? It's a fun thing if you're new to the show. Typically Friday, we get a little loose, turn over the textures a little bit more. Give you a chance to take everything you picked up on during the course of the week. Everything you've listened to here, watched, read. Just got to give you a chance to get off your chest, heading off into the weekend. Give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me? And away we go. Is It Just Me? The whole conversation about rebuilding and everything. It's a tough thing to acknowledge. And you got to give, if this is what the Broncos are set to do, I hope the Broncos are prepared to do what the Avalanche did when they decided to rebuild. And the more you look back on it, give the Avalanche a lot of credit because the Avs were a team, you want to talk about a franchise that very easily could have tried to extend what they had been doing for about 15 years, and that is be a really good competitive team that won a couple of Stanley Cups. You want to talk about somebody that could have tried to keep putting Band-Aids on it?
Mm-hmm.
But I give them credit because they knew that they had arrived at a point where they just said, hey, it's the point that we are at now, 2016 season. We need to just break this down and build it back up. And we know there's going to be pain involved. And they did that. They embraced it. That took some guts, knowing that you're going to be playing in front of a half-empty building most nights. Takes guts. And what the Broncos appear to be ready to do, I give them credit, and I hope they don't lose their stomach for it. I hope that they are prepared to do this because it will be better than the Band-Aids that they've been popping on this, you know, hemorrhaging body for the last 7-8 years. I hope they do it. I hope they mean it. I hope they stick with it because it's the right thing to do. As long as they have a plan and as long as they build this thing up the right way. So somebody said, okay, Broncos need to rebuild. That part we can all agree upon. That said, they have the highest paid head coach in the NFL who came in here talking Super Bowl and playoffs. Question I have, is Sean Payton the right guy for this job?
Well, who would you rather have? Some unproven rookie coach? Somebody that's never done it before? Somebody who's never been a head coach before? What would you rather? I mean, seriously, what would you rather have?
Well, if you believe that what Sean Payton did in New Orleans qualifies as rebuilding, do you believe he did that? Because right now, Mark, for a lot of people out there, he is dogged by the perception that he is simply a byproduct of Drew Brees.
Right.
And that without Drew Brees, who is Sean Payton? And what has Sean Payton done? That's the argument. Now, I don't agree with that, but that perception's out there. How do you fight back at that perception?
Well, I mean, you have to build it and you have to eventually win. Right? You have to build something up. And I'm with you. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the perception. I mean, they thought so highly of Drew Brees in San Diego that they drafted Philip Rivers while he was there and then kicked him out the door. Now, of course, he was injured and he wasn't passing physicals elsewhere. So there was a growth process there, right? There was a build there with a quarterback that there are a lot of people, like the Miami Dolphins, decided Culpepper was a better option than Brees. Like, we have this revisionist history when it comes to Drew Brees, and yes, he was great. I get that he was great, and he was good in San Diego, by the way, as a second-round pick, khaki pants guy. But he wasn't Drew Brees until he and Sean Payton got there. And by the way, if we sat down here with Drew Brees right now, Drew Brees would tell you that. How Drew Brees' game grew with Sean Payton and how they built that thing together. So, I mean, you can sit there and say what you want. Ultimately, the proof will be in the pudding.
But you want to know, as a Bronco fan, why should I trust Sean Payton to rebuild this thing? Okay. Right. Well, he did rebuild it in New Orleans. He took over a team that was 3-13.
Right.
4 years later, they were Super Bowl champs. Then, after seasons of 13, 11, 13, and 11 wins, they hit the skids for 3 straight years. 2014, 15, and 16, they went 7-9 all 3 years. By the way, with Drew Brees as the quarterback, I think that's something that all of you who believe that Sean Payton is simply a byproduct of Drew Brees, then you need to give me an explanation for that three-year run right there, because Drew was the quarterback for all 3 years. They went 7-9. If it was all Drew, then
what happened?
Then what happened, Drew?
He forget how to play,
right? So then they face a rebuild again.
Mm-hmm.
Second time that Sean's doing a rebuild in New Orleans. 3 straight 7-9 years. What happens after that? 11-5, 13-3, 13-3, 12-4. So the question that was asked by the texter: I'm all on board with a rebuild. Give me evidence that Sean is the right guy. Well, he did it twice in New Orleans. If you can find me somebody else that you want to do a rebuild here, and you have a resume that you can point to that says his resume this person's fill-in-the-blank resume is better than what Sean Payton's is, please bring it to me.
Right.
I want to see it. Give me the coach-GM combination that you believe that can rebuild this thing and tell me what you're basing it on. So, because otherwise, I'll go by what Sean Payton's record, the actual record is. He did it twice.
Let me ask you this. Here's from 24-26. Is it just me, or did Drew Brees save Sean Payton's career in New Orleans? Sean doesn't win a Super Bowl without Drew Brees. Let me ask you something. Mike Shanahan, a Hall of Fame coach in your mind?
Yep.
How many Super Bowls did he win without John Elway?
Zero.
Bill Belichick going to the Hall of Fame?
Yep.
How many Super Bowls did he win without
Brady?
Tom Brady.
Zero.
Okay. Is Andy Reid a Hall of Fame coach?
Yep.
How many Super Bowls did he win without Patrick Mahomes?
Zero.
Oh, weird. Weird.
Please,
how about
keep going.
Bruce Arians? Is Bruce Arians a really good coach?
Yep.
How many Super Bowls did he win without Tom Brady?
Zero.
Wow, weird. That is really strange, Texter. There seems to be,
Jimmy Johnson, a Hall of Fame coach?
Yeah, he went to the Hall of Fame.
Troy Aikman?
Yeah.
Zero.
There seems to be this crazy correlation between Hall of Fame coaches and really good quarterbacks.
Exactly.
I mean, it's silly. This is preposterous.
Yeah. And in all those cases that you just talked about, sure, well, I always say that in that relationship, that great coach, great quarterback relationship, that I'll always take the importance of the quarterback over the coach. Yes, always. But to say that the coach was some sort of innocent bystander and just along for the bus ride,
mm-hmm.
bus riders and steak eaters, I mean, you know, that is ridiculous. But if you want to say that, if you want to say that, that texture, you're right. Did Drew Brees save Sean Payton's career? Well, then you have to be fair as a Bronco fan, say, hey, John Elway saved Mike Shanahan's career. Although, let's be honest, Mark Schlereth saved Mike Shanahan's career.
That's a good point. Did Mike Shanahan ever win a Super Bowl without me? No.
No. And that's no cap.
Well, he did with San Francisco.
No, as a head coach.
Oh, as a head coach.
No.
Yeah, he was an OC. Although Joe Gibbs, as a head coach, won Super Bowls without me.
True. They were flukes, though. Join me at Ameristar Blackhawk tonight from 6 to 8. Going to be hanging out there watching all the hoops action. Going to be a great day up there. Beautiful drive up the hill. Nice day. Come enjoy some of the best food in Blackhawk. Register to win some incredible prizes, including a staycation in one of their luxurious spa suites. $250 dining credit that can be used at any of their restaurants, including the Timberline Grill or Fireside Kitchen. So we'll be up there later today and tonight. Looking forward to it. Hope to see you there. The Nuggets, 13-2 since the All-Star break. And are we seeing the emergence of a young star? That's next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Brass Monkey! Time to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Nuggets get it done last night again. Yawn. 13-2 since the All-Star break. 113-100 over the Knicks. But what has gotten into Michael Porter Jr.? What was in those healing restorative waters of Cabo?
I don't think it was the waters. I think it was the sun.
Oh, I see where you're going. Go ahead.
Michael Porter Jr. has got a little bit extra testosterone in his system because he went to Cabo.
Yeah?
On his little private deck.
You might be onto something.
Let his onions breathe. Got a little sun on the onions. Next thing you know, testosterone goes up 200%.
Yep.
He starts getting to the rim. There's no, hey. You know, I mean, it takes a little bit of extra girth, if you will, to get to the rim.
So sun's out, plums out, huh?
Sun's out, plums out.
Well, there's no denying that this is his best stretch of basketball as a pro. And why do I know it's his best stretch? Because nobody's talking about, hey, you know, look at how he's getting active on the boards. Or, hey, look and see what he's doing there, diving for a loose ball. No, you know what he's doing?
What?
He's just a cold-blooded shooter.
Yeah,
he's
he is.
He's a cold-blooded scorer who's figuring out that if he puts his mind to it, he can be unstoppable as a scorer or really, really hard to defend. Because here's what he's done since the All-Star break. So they came back from the All-Star break. Let's see. They came back on the 22nd, right? That was their first game. Since coming back from the All-Star break, he has scored 22, 34, 9 and 14. All right, so we're seeing a little dip there again. But then 30, 25, 20, 9, 19, 19, 25, 13, 20, 26, 31. So there's still, you know, that you've arrived as a great consistent scorer in this league when even on your off nights you still find a way to get to 24.
Well, give me the last three numbers again.
The last three?
Score of the scoring.
20, 26, and 31. By the way, 31, the high point of this stretch.
I think I just came up with a new song for Michael Porter Jr. Geez.
What is it?
Commodore's Brick House. 36, 24, 36. I want to win his score because he's a brick. How? Michael Porter stack now. Right?
Guys, tell me you got that.
Tell me that's
Mark,
not.
Staying up till midnight is the best.
That's not perfect. I want to.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now, I would like to make a decree. Do you make a decree? Is that what you do?
Sure. Make this a
state. A decree.
A state a decree.
That from this point forward, Michael Porter Jr. sound, we put the Commodores, but we got to put it right in the place where it goes 36, 24, 36. What a winning hey, because he's a brick. How?
Fever's looking at you, and Rogue's looking like you. No, we're not.
He's mighty, mighty.
We're not going to indulge you. MPG.
What do you mean?
MPG. MPG. You got MPG. MPG.
It was good to get a little mental break, but I switched a couple other things up that I would contribute more to.
The song.
My recent stretch, other than just going to Cabo, I switched a couple other things up. But Cabo was a great break. I needed it for sure.
How much better would that have been with the Commodores behind it?
Awesome.
Would have been great, right?
MPJ acknowledging the growth in his game.
I mean, I don't know. Earlier in the season, I wasn't hearing that I was improving, you know? So I think once you have a few good games, people decide that you've improved or whatever. Me personally, I think this is kind of what I've tried to do the past few seasons I've been healthy. So I'm going to just leave kind of those conversations up to you guys. Personally, I don't know what I've improved on. I'm just trying to improve game to game.
Ow. She's mighty, mighty.
Just letting it all hang out.
She's a brick. Ow.
I like laying stack. That's a fact.
I ain't holding nothing back.
She's a brick.
Ow.
Well, put together,
everybody knows he's gonna knock the shot.
She knows she's got everything.
Yeah,
come on.
Tell me you don't like this. Okay. It is pretty good.
How can she lose what's what she used?
They don't make them like that.
36, 24, 36.
All right.
Woo! Man.
Oh my.
It's my new Michael Porter Jr. song.
Folks, when we have shows like this,
it's my new Michael Porter Jr. song.
Like, it's going like, you know, 8.2 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, right? Like, this is all I'm trying to do right now. We're all just trying to hang on, everybody. Yeah. Just hang on. Hang on.
Is anybody feel me right now? Does anybody
I'm sure
feel
everyone's
me?
Everyone's feeling you right now.
Come on. How?
Good point, though. Is do you want brick house for a basketball player?
Yep. I realize that, well, maybe we just change the meaning of brick.
Okay. Brick stands for something.
He's building a house.
He's building a house.
He's building that house, man. He's building that foundation, getting to the 10.
But this is what we've all been waiting for with MPJ. And mm-hmm. so when he's in a stretch like this, it's that we all can acknowledge is the best stretch of his career. No one's talking about, yeah, but the rebounding, but yeah, right. they're saying, look at what his shot every time it leaves his hands looks like it's going to go in. You think it's going to go in. And now he's figuring out, hey, wait a minute, and he's also, you know what he's doing? He talked about the game slowing down. I'll give you a great example of it. That play where he finds himself in the lane, mm-hmm. kind of stuck a little bit. Ordinarily, what would happen to him in that situation? He'd be quickly looking to kick the ball back out, or he'd turn it over.
Yeah.
Instead, he had the presence of mind, game slowing down, to actually stop and say, wait a minute, I'm going to actually just flip the ball up off the backboard.
Do you get an assist for
that? I'm 6'11". Nobody's going to stop me. I'm going to go home and get an easy basket.
Wait a minute. Do you get a rebound?
You do not get an offensive rebound and assist on that. No.
No?
You might get an offensive rebound. Well, they didn't touch the rim, so probably not. So, no, I think it's just it's a pass, but not an assist.
Should be.
No, it's a smart move, and you're seeing more and more guys do it now. It's not a hot dog move. It was actually a, hey,
it was good.
I'm stuck. This is a way to kind of extricate myself, and it shows a couple things. It shows very good high basketball IQ. And it shows that the game is slowing down for him. And he's doing things now that he's never done before. So good for him. Keep it up.
The other day I heard Michael Malone say basically, like, not only does he have confidence in his shot, but every time he lets one go, the whole team has confidence in his shot. Like, he's going to make it.
Yep. No, it's a terrific stretch of basketball, mm-hmm. and good for him. And if he keeps it up throughout the playoffs, I mean, who's going to beat these guys?
Right.
I don't... Go ahead, play the jinxy cap, but I think we all agree, if he plays this way in the playoffs, to know what you're already going to get from Jokic and Murray in the playoffs, you already know what you're going to get from Aaron Gordon in the playoffs.
Right.
You already know what you're going to get from KCP in the playoffs. Yeah, this?
Better than us! Nobody! Yeah.
Straight to the top, Mike. Straight to the top.
Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. I love when we talk about Papa Murphy's on Fridays because my family, we've benefited from Papa Murphy's on a lot of Fridays. You get to the end of the week, you're kind of worn down a little bit. Nobody wants to cook. Nobody wants to necessarily just go out and get takeout. You pop in a Papa Murphy's pizza that you picked up on the way home. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Get one of their salads. Oh, good, good stuff. Papa Murphy's. Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Up next, one more hour on this roller coaster. Hang on, folks. Hang on, because who knows what Mark has in store for us next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.